This is side two of broadcast number 580, part two, December 17th, 1983. It's Mae Bressel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. I'm continuing with the article that I am sharing with you by Alexander Cockburn, C-O-C-B-U-R-N. When I'm mad at him, I call him Cockburn. Otherwise, it's really said Cockburn. It's called The Pope, Lumumba, and the Kalb Connections, K-A-L-B Connections, printed January the 4th, 1983. He's telling about John Kennedy having a visit by Cardinal Spellman, who went to him in May 1961 when he was just a new president and told him, you have to back Mobutu against Lumumba, and then Lumumba was brutally killed shortly afterwards. Yeah. On the broadcast that I did in June 1982, I discussed the role of Cardinal Spellman as a member of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, who was the young priest tutored by the Nicholas Brady family from Dillon Reed and the Morgan Banks, and he was their private priest in their home in Rome in their little chapel, and then they built him up to become known as Mr. Vietnam, who gave us the entire Vietnam War and the Holocaust that took place there, everything from genocide to Agent Orange in Southeast Asia has still affected all the lives of those countries that have been decimated and haven't been able to build up. Cardinal Spellman was always behind gung-ho this war, and he's very much a part of the Vatican hierarchy, along with Cardinal Cook in New York, John DeLorean's cardinal. But Spellman went to John Kennedy and pressured him as his priest to back Mobutu. He said that his reason was that Pope John the 23rd favored Lumumba, a relative and humble man, a vicar of Christ, had schooled the young Lumumba and told John 23rd that Lumumba could be won for Rome and lead millions of Africans to the arms of church. And John 23rd was planning his Vatican II Council, a radical conclave, and this pontiff was believing that Lumumba was a sincere kind of person who would divert the Africans towards Rome. But Rome, the Opus Dei that was formed in 1928 of the Masonic Lodge, doesn't want a liberal Catholic Rome. They want a fascist Catholic Rome, so that neither Pope John the 23rd or John Kennedy or Lumumba fit into their scheme of things, and they were murdered by the same people. I believe Pope John the 23rd was killed. He was on in years, the surgery, the operation, the things were questionable when he died. He died in May, Kennedy died in November, and Khrushchev was removed from the government in the Soviet Union. There was three were trying to get a rapprochement, a d'entente. I don't know how the powers that be got in the Soviet Union got Khrushchev off after removed from office after his buddies were out. But these men were working together, and Cardinal Spellman was determined that Lumumba never enter Rome alive. Now, what kind of a church? I talk about Begin the fascist, and look at Spellman. What business is it of a cardinal in the United States and Boston who's so well off to determine what happens in the Belgian Congo? Once it changes its name, it's still part of the Belgian and the CIA government. And Spellman was determined as he made foreign policy in the White House and in the CIA. This was what he wanted. Now, in Newsweek magazine, there's an item about the author. That's Arnaud de Borchgrave, A-R-N-A-U-D, de, small d-e, B-O-R-C-H-G-R-A-V-E. He's one of the biggest propagandists. He wrote The Spike. He writes anti-Soviet literature. He's one of the biggest propagandists for World War III existing on the planet Earth. And at that time, when Kennedy was young in 1961, and working with Newsweek, de Borchgrave had an informant who was a young journalist in Rome named Claire Sterling. Now, Claire Sterling is the woman that fed Marvin Kalb, I'll tell you some of the punchlines, the information for the NBC program this last year that I called on the air a piece of BS, and so was Claire Sterling. She helped him make a movie on the KGB connections to shooting the Pope for NBC, and she works for Reader's Digest, long supporter of Hitler and Mussolini. That's her cover. She was living in Rome in 1961, In this story of Coburn, says, within days of the Spellman, the secret Spellman visit to Kennedy, Mobutu arrested Lumumba. Within days, hours later, he was delivered. Thugs had done him in. General Mobutu remained the leader of the Belgian Congo and changed the name to Zaire, and that's where the German rocket missiles were put for all of Africa, installed into Zaire. And he doesn't have that in his story, but that is another part of the history that I know of Zaire, the construction of the German missiles to control all black Africa. And Coburn said he's loyal U.S. ally to this day. He asked the question, did a United States president, John Kennedy, did two U.S. presidents, that's Eisenhower and Kennedy, give the nod to Lumumba's murder? Did the CIA organize his death with the help of Mobutu? Now, he then gets into the story of the Pope. The search for men who engineered the murders leads through a wilderness of mirrors, but one of the investigators of the intriguing Saba has intriguing connections of her own. Madeline Kalb, the wife of Marvin Kalb, the propagandist for NBC and the Opus Dei, Marilyn Kalb wrote a story. She's Marvin's wife. She wrote a book on Lumumba, the story of his career, and summary of her in her book of the life of Patrice Lumumba before he was murdered, called The Congo Papers. And then, he says, by a strange coincidence worthy of the pen of John Le Carre, capital L, small e, capital C-A-R-R-E, or he mentions other mystery writers, Madeline Kalb's husband, Marvin, years later, becomes the prominent figure in the investigation of the attempted assassination of John Paul II. Is that a coincidence? She's covered up to her ass, I guess I can say it on the air, we'll say it, with the Lumumba story. She is married to a man who is pushing the whole KGB story of the assassination attempt on the Pope. And later I'll give you some interesting comments on what the Soviet Union says in their response. In fact, I might tell you the punchline now. They said in the newspaper last week, if America is looking for conspiracies, why didn't they go into the death of Salvador Allende and Orlando Letelier? Now, Letelier was murdered when George Bush was head of the CIA. Salvador Allende was the same people, the Henry Kissinger crowd that Marvin Kalb works with. And they brought up some questionable murders that should be investigated that I mention every week, so that they're not sitting back and taking it too nicely. They're pointing out that we have some clinging up ourselves to do. And they mention, I'll do more on this, what the Soviet Union is accusing us of doing, of making trouble, and they're asking, why don't you look into these particular murders, which are very pertinent to the story? Now, Coburn, who usually doesn't jump to conclusions easily or at all, is saying Marilyn is pushing the Lumumba story, which was a CIA plan, and now her husband, years later, is trying to push this other story. Coincidence, he says, it strains all credibility to imagine there is no link between the two Kalbs and their investigation using Claire Sterling then and now, and the Vatican Cardinal Spellman, you know, at that time. He says it strains all credibility. Knowledgeable Vatican insiders suggest the astounding theory that the Kalbs, Marvin Kalb and his wife, who wrote this book on Patrice Lumumba, Madeline, are agents of the Opus Dei. And how you know if you follow this every week, how much I've been talking about the Opus Dei. Insiders say they are both agents, winning or unwinning, of the super-secret Catholic lay order known as Opus Dei, the treacherous group formed in 1928 with a notorious fascist background. He says the Opus Dei originated in Spain, which we said enormously powerful and wealthy. One longtime observer seasoned in international intrigue told the Village Voice, there are only three powers in the world to date, the Trilateral Commission, the homosexuals, and the Opus Dei. By homosexuals, he refers to the J. Edgar Hoover, the Clay Shaw, the General Walker, the intrigue, the Henry Kissinger crowd, the John Layman, of Secretary of the Navy, Senator John Tower, the leaders of the world who are swinging and pushing today, who are notorious, not the gay people up in San Francisco on Church Street, but there is a clique of power, whips and chains, the Alfred Bloomingdale sadomasochism, and everything else. The Opus Dei has flagellation. There was a cartoon when the Premier of Pakistan was here, and we criticized him for flogging, and there was some reference to sexual cartoon of sexual flagellation, church flagellation and sexual whipping. How do you separate the three? Whether you agree with it or not, what he's saying in here, there are these powers. This is what Coburn is saying. These powers today. Opus Dei agents in the Italian Secret Service worked with Mehmet Ali Agha to produce the confession that links him to the Bulgarian Secret Service, the dreaded pawn of the double-dreaded KGB. It's called the Durzhavna, Durzhavna, capital Sigurnost, the dreaded KGB. He says that in the jail, as of August of this year, and this fits in with the story of John Lehman, Princess Grace's cousin, and his brother Joseph Lehman's work inside the Vatican and their close ties to the Vatican, as had Grace Kelly, who arranged, as I said, her marriage. Now, they're getting information in Europe, and this is what Pravda is saying in his Vestia on how they began to coach Agha into the KGB Bulgarian story because they wanted to frighten the anti-nuclear popes that I talked about last week into shaping up and going along with the Orthodox Church. That the people that want to kill their holy man are linked to the KGB. And this began to be created as a story with the help of Claire Sterling at this time and CIA people working with Agha, like they worked with Lee Harvey Oswald, as I mentioned last week, the parallels, to create a communist story. Isaac Don Levine of the Central Intelligence Agency was working with Marina Oswald after the assassination in one of the declassified documents of the National Archives, and I quoted in the very first article I ever published. He said, "We're trying to squeeze a communist story out of this. A white czarist Russian brought to the Dallas-Fort Worth area to work with military people in the defense, and he's trying to squeeze a communist story." That's what makes this story so interesting, are the parallels, their own terminology of what they're going to squeeze out of her. In return, she gets about 10 acres and a refrigerator and a room of her own and certain comforts she'd never get in the Soviet Union, so she pawns it all. The guy's gone anyway, and she trades it for the security that she has. Now, back to the Coburn article. He claims in the Village Voice that the Secret Service, the Italian Secret Service, that's the same Secret Service that was exposed in the Masonic Lodge scandal that had 30,000 files on people that works in a plan to overthrow Italy for fascism, has been working with Agha to produce these confessions about the KGB, headed at that time by Yuri and Andropov. Now, this kind of propaganda will only work if it has an ounce of truth. If it has no truth, it makes fools of us. So Richard Pipes can talk about the KGB confessions. I'm going to go into that. The Henry Kissinger, the Israeli government, even Menachem Begin, they're pushing a KGB story out of nothing and nowhere, just as they pushed Oswald-Fidel Castro relationship, that it'll be 20 years since Kennedy was murdered and there isn't a thread of evidence. But the same people working through the same era, not different people in different places. Now he says, when the word was filtered from the CIA and the Italian Secret Service to Agha, then it went to Claire Sterling and to Marvin Kalb, who became the NBC spokesman for the KGB tried to shoot the Pope. Why, asked Alexander Coburn. The intelligence sources suggest the following from his information. And I asked him, I talked to him, as I say, on the phone last week and asked him if he worked on this story a long time. How could he take... A month ago, he's putting me down with Grace and the Vatican connections. How did he get so smart in 1 month? But I think even people like that catch on eventually. If they're honest, they can't fail to see that some of these things are connected, and he certainly makes them here. He says, intelligence sources suggest the following. The Opus Dei regarded John Paul II as a possible deadly enemy, and that's one of the motives I have here, that he wasn't right enough. The pious Pole denounced the Spanish Inquisition, which he did, And last week I had his denouncement of the Nobel Nazi Sperm Bank in San Diego and the appointment of Bernardine as a cardinal. Speaking out against atomic weapons himself. That's why I put those things so carefully in the broadcast last week. For those of you who don't have that broadcast, it's part of this one. There's a continuity. I put them there because this was happening all the last few weeks, the last few months. The United States was severing from the Vatican politically. Now, the reasoning and logic behind the intelligence report is, he says, the Opus Dei is regarded as a deadly enemy. Now, when he wrote this, simultaneously, John Paul II elevated the Opus Dei. But I think the reason he elevated them, there's a blackmail squeeze that he doesn't account for in this story, was that the Vatican will not tell where their $1.4 billion is in the Panama banks alone and in the Bahamas banks, and the disgrace of having those debts tied to the Gambinos and the Genoveses and the organized crime families in Milan, and particularly this new drug bust in Milan. The embarrassment of being linked to the mafia all these years, the Vatican, is more embarrassing to the Pope than elevating the Opus Dei, because they will assume his loans and cover up the debts of the mafia people and narcotics traffic interwoven with the Vatican. Now, there's a contradiction here where Coburn says the Opus Dei didn't like the Pope. But on the other hand, the Pope has elevated them, and it may be that he doesn't have any choice. They may have a fight with each other, but they don't have any choice. He claims that the Opus Dei didn't like the Pope's remarks about the Inquisition. Now, according to Coburn in the Village Voice, Aja was the first tool of the conspiracy, just as Lee Harvey Oswald was selected when he was in Navy intelligence. False trails were led through the capitals of Europe. And that's why I mentioned last week the false tales of Oswald with Castro Cubans allegedly in Texas and calling on Sylvia Odio and going to the Cuban embassy in Mexico. They didn't bother too much in other places, but there were false trails of Oswald to a car agency where he's going to drive a car away to a rifle range. They left false trails of his behavior as an alleged would-be assassin in a furniture store and in the barbershop and in the Cuban embassies. And they left false trails in the capitals of Europe. That bid fell and didn't work, but there was another bid. A young priest, the disciple of the Pope's deadliest foes, lunged at him with a bayonet. Now, what he's saying is Aja was selected. He was the first tool, and he failed. Then you remember when the priest lunged at the Pope in Spain when he was there at the statue of the Fatima, the miracle of Fatima. He said, I work for the Opus Dei. He said, I work for the far right wing group, that the Pope is too left. They caught him in the second assassination place on the anniversary of the miracle of Fatima, the famous virgin who appeared to Portuguese children, warning the world of a dreadful event. Now, the mystery of Fatima started in 1917, and even Mr. Coburn gets analytical here more than I've ever seen in a single article of his or in any for a long time, that parallels the way I try to do an hour on my radio programs. He says the Catholics knew well that the event was the Russian Revolution in 1917, and the Fatima miracle is a peculiarly sacred day for all anti-communist calendars. To find a Pope's assailant, the true assailant, he says, you have to go to the west to the Iberian Peninsula, the home of Zubaran, Zubaran, and the mystic trinity of orange, lemon, and rose. The intrigue does not stop there, and he's talking about the attempt on the Pope by the far right a second time. That didn't succeed. They tried it once. It didn't work. They tried it a second time. It didn't work. But then he said, you have to go to the Black Friars Bridge arching over the Thames River in London. And he gets into that. Suspended beneath it on one wintry day, it wasn't winter, it was June 18th, he makes it dramatic, was Signor Roberto Calvi, the head of the Banco Ambrosiano. The Banco was the mechanism whereby the Vatican's ruthless financial controllers, headed by powerful papal bodyguard and financial manipulator, U.S.-born Marcinkus, the man that didn't make cardinal last week. They were funneling the church's riches to the safety of the New World. Now, they were funding the anti-Castro Cubans. They were funding Joseph Mengele in Paraguay. They were funding the exojets that were fighting the British in the Falklands War simultaneously. All this scandal was going on. They were funding fascism in the United States for Nazi organizations in the United States and funneling a lot of operations. And he refers to the hanging at the bridge and the links to the money. Now, Roberta Calvi knew too much. Thus, he died abruptly at the end of the rope. And a month ago, his wife denounced the Vatican as the organizer of his death. Now, I've read on the programs earlier the claims of his son, who lives in Washington, that his father was murdered by the Opus Dei. The wife saying he was murdered by the Opus Dei by the tangles of the Vatican finances. Now, if Grace Kelly came back to the Prince of Monaco having the marriage arranged by a priest in Virginia and goes up to Pennsylvania and takes him there one Christmas night and they have dinner and he says, right then, will you marry me? And she says, and her family says it was an arrangement. He has his own mistresses. She's been close to the Vatican. And at a time when the mob is tangled and losing its money because Calvi is dangling off that bridge and he's tied up the European banks and the Monaco banks, and Grace is in the Vatican at this time when other witnesses are being killed, as I say, it was unfair of him to laugh off the fact that he doesn't have to read further about Grace's links to the Vatican. But thank goodness, a month later, in the Village Voice, he's talking about the Opus Dei. He says, the cardinals met in Rome last fall to review the Ambrosiano disaster, and the Pope made a significant gesture. Intriguing. He made the head of the Opus Dei a bishop. Oh, yeah, I forgot that he did elevate him, even though this scandal was going on, and they claim he hates the Opus Dei, but he doesn't explain that contradiction. Was this a subtle sign for the Polish pontiff that he had seen through a false flag recruitment the bogus trail to Sofia and Moscow? Did the Polish pontiff, he asked, see this false story of the KGB a few weeks ago, starting in October and November, with Mr. Richard Pipes and Henry Kissinger and the Italian Nazi clique? Did that Pope see through the false flag recruitment, the bogus trail from Sofia in Bulgaria and Moscow, and correctly turned his eyes to the Iberian Peninsula, to the area where the mystic trinity of orange, lemon, and rose, the Fatima story? Or was it an indication of surrender? Did he get smart and say to the Opus Dei, I'll let you cover my mafia debts and hidden bank accounts and the money that we used to fight the British? Did he do it cynically elevated, or was he surrendering? Will the Pope be drawn, will the papal favor be withdrawn from Spain's experiment in democracy? Will they try to overthrow it like they did in February and March? Remember, in 1981, there was an attempted coup of the fascists in Spain. In March, Ronald Reagan was shot, and there was an attempted coup in the United States by the Opus Dei. That is Alexander Haig, Henry Kissinger crowd. And then he eased those people out of office, as I read you the list last week of some of the people that changed. And then the Pope was shot in May. That was a year of assassination attempts and coups that I chronicled very carefully each week on the air and detailed their importance. And he is saying, will the Spanish government now be overthrown and we put a Franco-type government back? Will Spain's experiment in democracy under this courageous tutelage now, will it be put back in the hands of the fascists? We have to see. Then Coburn concludes the article, behind the Opus Dei faction, which he has identified Claire Sterling and Marvin Kalb, behind the Opus Dei faction, the manipulators behind the Banco Ambrosiano, does lead a trail back once again to Langley, Virginia, where they sat and planned the Lumumba operation, with the historian of that, of course, being Marvin Kalb's wife, Madeline Kalb. Do we go back again from Lumumba and John Kennedy to the assassination attempt on the Pope to Langley, to a faction in the Reagan administration desperate to discredit Andropov and the hopes for an arms treaty that exists Early this week, the Vatican announced an investigation into Ambrosio's affair with three Vatican and three Italian representatives. The plot against the Pope, as with the plot against Lumumba, is not a detective story with tidy endings. And let me interject into here the plot against John Kennedy. Lumumba was murdered, and John Kennedy was murdered by the same people that killed Lumumba. He's left that out. Maybe that's why he doesn't like me. I'll discuss it when I see him sometime. Kennedy fit right into the same time slot and was killed by the same people. He says the plot against the Pope, as with the plot against Lumumba, is not a detective story with a tidy ending. It is a cautionary tale about the perils of an increasingly dangerous world. Now, last week, an official counseled the Village Voice. They said first it was Madeleine Kahl with Lumumba and with Cardinal Spelling and with Claire Sterling and Alan Dulles. Then Marvin Kalb with Claire Sterling and the CIA and Langley, Virginia. I'd watch out for what Bernard says. That may be the key. Now, Bernard, we'll go into Bernard Kalb, because if them all Opus Dei, who are they? And then, of course, we get to my favorite subject, which is Henry Kissinger and Fritz Kramer, and the story of how Henry Kissinger, the Nazi, came to this country under the tutelage of Fritz Kramer. Who touted Henry Kissinger the most? Many of you have the paperback or the hardback book. It's called Kissinger, just plain Kissinger, published in 1974. Photographs, it was written by Bernard Kalb and Marvin Kalb. Now, once you know that their Opus Dei with propaganda of covering up murders, you can take an overlay of what they did in the past, and I've saved every newspaper article about these events since 1963, and some going back earlier, but since 1963, to pinpoint those people that have lied to you about Lee Harvey Oswald, Oswald's connections. They're the same network that lie about the Lumumba murder or Trujillo murder or DM murder, you name it. I mean, if you want 100 murders, Mossadegh, we can go down the list, the assassinations that they've done. Now, on the cover of the book, they describe Bernard Kalb and Marvin Kalb. Those are the two men that have traveled and taunted Henry Kissinger, the protege of this Fritz Kramer from IG Farben in Nazi Germany who came to U.S. Army intelligence. Kissinger was the protege of Kramer, and then as he catapulted to his famous positions, the Kalb boys, wouldn't it be righteous? Isn't it wonderful that the Opus Dei carries him, you know, up on their shoulders as the pinnacle of the statesman? Wouldn't it have to come from the Kalb brothers? Now, the description of them on the book that I never took too seriously before they started starting these massive lies. Marvin Kalb has dug into Kissinger, the Kalb brothers, into his past to trace his early history, his emergence as a superstar, the whirlwind Henry of Arabia, the Mideast talks, the bombing of Hanoi, Kissinger's tilting towards Pakistan in the Indian-Pakistan War, the international domestic repercussions of Watergate, the second most powerful man in the world, the Jew who kissed Egyptian president on both cheeks and called him brother. Brother was Anwar Sadat. Sadat was put in by the Nazi Bormann Brotherhood. Otto Skorzeny took his top Nazis to Nasser and Sadat to train them how to control the world and make it safe for Nazis. On the fly of the book, the Kalb brothers are described as praising the Jew who kissed the Egyptian president, called him brother. Marvin Kalb has been diplomatic correspondent to CBS News since 1963. That's when Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig and Fritz Kramer had a role in the ordering the murder of John Kennedy. He's covered Kissinger since he came to Washington in 69, and when he became Secretary of State, he followed him on every overseas mission. No wonder Kissinger the hero, Kissinger the great. The Moscow summit, China, and so forth. Kalb joined CBS in 1957. That was the year of the Appalachian mob meeting to divide the world year that Howard Hughes was kidnapped. A very important year, 1957. He had been in the State Department. Brother Bernard, that Coburn warns us about. Brother Bernard is a journalist, foreign correspondent, the New York Times with CBS. He joined them in 1962, the year before John Kennedy was murdered. So CBS and NBC had both groups covered for Cardinal Spellman, for the Vatican, for Reinhard Galen, who was a Knight of Malta, for James Angleton, who was a Knight of Malta, for William Casey. The CIA had their Vatican bonds. They got rid of John Kennedy. The Cal brothers are now identified in this ball of wax. Isn't it righteous? It's exactly, you couldn't write a script better than this one. In 1901, Bernard Kalb, after 15 years with the Times, the last 5 years based in Indonesia and Southeast Asia, he went on to the Council of Foreign Relations. Can you believe that? 1961, spending 15 years before in Southeast Asia, when Mr. Donovan of the OSS was getting the French out of Southeast Asia so the dope would come into the United States through Nugan Handbank. I'm running out of time again on this tape. Next week, we'll go into the propaganda story on the attempted assassination of the Pope and the role of the Cal brothers. You can see why it's so difficult to get information into NBC and CBS, the news kings who are walking and traveling with the Henry Kissingers, the protégés of the Fritz Kramers. There's a lot more I want to say on this subject, but we'll have to continue next week. The time is up, and I'm sorry. This is Mae Brussel, a KAZU-FM, and we'll continue some more on this within 1 week.